When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
But, of course, one of their biggest and most famous alumnus, if he graduated, I'm not sure, is Patrick Mahomes. So he was at the game, and there were some reaction shots of him during plays. And I was thinking to myself, and even John mentioned it this morning, that Patrick Mahomes just took his second L in a row, going back to the Super Bowl loss. How many L's does Patrick Mahomes have to take before we turn the other way for him? Because Brady was a champ early in his career, and eventually people turned on him and the Pats. The cheating did help, and then it flipped back, it felt like, where people were rooting for greatness. Mahomes has three. He's got two losses in embarrassing fashion. Does he need to be someone who toils not getting past the divisional round, you know, Texan stuff, until for the next couple of years before people stop with the jokes? Or is he always going to be someone where anytime something unfortunate happens to him, we got to get these jokes off? I feel like he's got at least three or four more years of people rooting on his downfall. And those downfalls have to happen.
Yeah.
One thing I know, the Chiefs have to wait for Kelce to retire, which means that the Taylor Swift of it all goes away, because no one's ever going to really root for them if she's there, beyond the Swifties. I think Mahomes has like four more L's to take before people flip back and go, you know what, he's pretty good. It would be nice to see him win one again.
Yeah, because people with Brady even thought like the 07 one, like people were rooting for the Giants there,
yeah,
for the upset.
And that was... they were rooting for something non-historic to happen.
Yeah.
They wanted the Giants to end the chance of them going undefeated.
I mean, it wasn't really until 28-3. I mean, even like when, just snapshot, when the Falcons were up 28-3, like, I think people were also like rooting on the Patriots' downfall.
I would agree.
Then it wasn't until he came back where it was just like, this guy is the greatest.
Yeah, you got to give him his credit, right? Yeah. It became went from acknowledging his greatness to actually being like, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like a decade. But
so we think – so do you think multiple Super Bowl losses and a decade's worth
maybe
of not winning?
Maybe not a decade. But then, like, the first time he wins, people are hate him again. Like, because it'll be his, what, fourth?
I think it matters how he wins, although all the Super Bowl wins are comebacks for Mahomes. Like, the Brady thing, the remarkable nature of what he did maybe flipped it for some people where at some point greatness overwhelms even all the hate that people have. Not mine. I continue to hate on Brady. But other people were like, you know what? He's the GOAT. Whatever. I just found it interesting in the middle of a really good college basketball game where he was just there supporting his school, people took the opportunity to make fun of him just because I think he's got some of that left, maybe a lot left before things turn around and we're rooting for Patrick Mahomes again, if we ever do.
And it's U of H fans wanting to take a shot at a Tech person. I think that's
that
also
plays
part
a part.
Of it. That, like, this is a specific matchup.
But this was local hate, yes. It was local hate, but
I don't think the country was like...
No, no one was like, yeah, people in Syracuse weren't going, man, look at Mahomes taking another L. And probably not the case, but that leans more back into, with the national stuff, back into his actual football. And I think he's got a long way to go before people are actually rooting for him to win games again. Maybe get screwed on a couple calls. Possibly. Maybe that changes things for people, but that stuck out to me. The joy people took from Mahomes not having a great time late in that game. And what was a really good game? You credit Juwan Roberts for a couple big buckets down the stretch. He made his free throws. Milos Uzon. I had to go listen to Kevin Sumlin talk about him. Kelvin Sampson talk about him to make sure I got the right pronunciation. Milos is what he calls him. Uzon. He knocked down a big three. The Cougs were up by three. Kind of a loose ball situation. It was in a scramble. The ball got to him out on the perimeter, and he knocks down a three. Put him up six, and that pretty much put the game away. So they secure their second consecutive Big 12 title. One more win or one more loss by the right team, and they have another outright title. But they have at least a share of a Big 12 title. Kelvin Sampson, a remarkable coach, a guy who is a culture setter. There's a lot of talk about how to win in college basketball because the hiring process will begin in earnest here in a couple weeks, where either guys have been fired or will get fired, and programs are looking for their next guy. And you think about when he got hired in 2014, he was coming off the show cause he was in the NBA, and he was a name who had won at several places, but There was that on him of what happened in his previous college stop. So maybe that's the only reason Houston could get him, because people were unwilling to take a chance. And I put that in quotes. We'll see what happens with Will Wade. He's another guy who now he went to McNeese, I believe, but his show cause from LSU is ending in June, and he's done well in his stop. So that's a name out there that may be a hot one, or it may be a name where normally a program wouldn't be able to get him. But because people are concerned about his past, a program desperate for a reboot and someone who can come in and win games will get a pretty good coach who they wouldn't normally be able to get. So,
and like how Kelvin Sampson, basically, like, the rules he broke were just like how much he could text Eric Gordon or whoever.
Exactly.
And then it immediately, like, they lifted those rules. So, like, what he did, I think while he was still on show cause, like, was then legal.
Actually, we think these rules are dumb.
Yeah.
They're not really that important, so we're going to change them. So,
same thing with Will Wade, where he was just doing NIL 2 years too early.
Yeah, he was.
he was just paying guys a little too early.
Yeah, and getting caught, because he wasn't alone in paying guys too early. He just happened to get caught. And he's been great at McNeese, so that's a name. If you are a fan of a program in need of a shock to the system, maybe your program's going to. Oh, that sound was telling.
No, I just
I don't think Texas would hire Will Wade.
No, they would. Well, maybe they would. They would. He wouldn't be the first option, though.
But yeah, if they had to come and go get Will Wade because others turned him down,
yeah,
that wouldn't be a bad choice. I just know he, like you said, he wouldn't be on the top of the list for potential Texas options.
Royal Ivy would have to say no.
So with Texas, look at that. We talk about Houston somehow get to Texas. That's
talking about major college basketball programs.
That's the life of a Houston fan. Somehow, some way, in one of their biggest moments, somehow we get to Texas, win the Big 12 again, a conference. Texas didn't want them in.
By the way, does Uzon have any eligibility left?
He's got plenty. He's a freshman.
Okay.
Oh, transfer portal. Here we come. So, Royal Ivy. So Texas would be willing to hire a guy who's never led a program before, you think?
Yeah, probably.
It's a sticky situation.
Work for Deion Sanders.
No, he led a football program before Colorado hired him. It's different. It's different.
Yeah, but he's our Deion Sanders.
Royal Ivy is. Yeah. Then why don't you let him coach at a HBCU first, and then see if he can do that before you hire him?
We're on a time crunch, Del.
Okay. So
he's coaching a little team called the Houston Rockets right now.
Sure. Correct. How have NBA assistants to high major jobs worked out?
Kelvin Sampson.
But he had already coached at a program before.
I know.
Two major programs before.
The BYU coach is Young. Kevin Young.
He came from Utah, right?
He came.
Which?
He came from the Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix. And the Phoenix owner is a. There's something.
Michigan State grad.
Yeah, that's Matt Ishbia. But Utah has a lot. BYU, excuse me, has a lot of money backing their program. Once they lost Mark Pope to Kentucky, they're like, this is not how we roll. So they went and got one of their guys, and they're backing him with all the money a certain religious institution is willing to provide. And that's a lot. There's a lot of money going into BYU sports, and particularly basketball, after some upheaval. So they're trying to be good, and they've had a pretty good year. And they've been a good program for years. Just not as good as the Cougs, because the Cougs are your Big 12 champions. At least they have secured a share and likely will get that outright title once again. We'll hear from Kelvin Sampson when we come back. He talked about not only playing Tech and they were shorthanded, but he talked about winning the Big 12 again and the expectations on the program and what they think of those expectations. We'll hear from him when we come back. There's some slander being thrown Johnny Manziel's way. From, of all people, Kirby Smart. You'll hear that. And it was an interesting night in the NBA as well. The Rockets don't play. Fred VanVleet may play tonight against Milwaukee. But there is a big game in the West. Big comeback by the Wolves. And it was done without Anthony Edwards. But that's not the real storyline. He came back in, had the big block. But for like 340 of the final 340 of the fourth quarter, he got benched. And the Wolves came back down from 16 and tied the game, eventually won it in overtime. But Chris Finch, he said something that's only really good to say when you win. You don't win and you say what he said, you sound like a whiner. So we'll hear from the Wolves coach as well. We're just getting started here. If you want to get in on the show, talk about anything, you can. 713-780-3776. Brian McTaggart has an update on your Astros. We'll get to that as well. We're just getting started here. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9, HD2.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Every team has its own identity, with its own fabric and its own makeover. We work so hard when nobody's around. I think when you put in the time and effort, you create your own expectations. I have no idea or really care about anybody else's. All that matters is ours. We prepare to be successful.
That was Kelvin Sampson last night after the win in response to a question about winning the Big 12 for the second year in a row. And he says, it's just about us. Whatever people outside the program think of us, that doesn't matter. They are the preeminent program in the Big 12. Now, you come in and win two straight conference titles, you deserve that mantle. Kansas has been the superpower for a long time. No longer the case as far as what the Cougs have done. And there's some sustainability there because you expect Kelvin Sampson to be around for a little bit more. And, of course, the recruiting has picked up to a point where they are getting – I mean, I don't even want to do this because it says they have something to aspire to. But they're getting, like, Duke-level type recruits, like the best player at this position, a top five player here. As much as the culture is defense and they won't compromise when it comes to that, they are still getting – well, they're now getting players that the best teams in the country will want. And they've done that in the past, but they're doing it at a big – at a – maybe their highest level. This recruiting cycle, Houston, now recruiting power beyond just being a basketball power as well, on the court as well. So things looking good. At this point, everyone is healthy, which is always a concern for them when it comes to the tournament. And maybe this year will be the lucky year. Kelvin Sampson talked about it. He knows a lot about injuries. I think he has a lot of respect for that Tech program because he acknowledged that, sure, we won, but they were shorthanded. Here's Kelvin Sampson about playing at Tech and the effects not having your best guys, what that does to a game.
For us to do what we did tonight was great, but there's also an asterisk as far as I'm concerned. I don't sit here and beat. I mean, I saw where we had run 19 out of 20 or 20 out of 21, something like that. And we've beaten a lot of good teams. One at Arizona, one at West Virginia, one at Kansas. I mean, we got a really good team. But so does Texas Tech when they're healthy. They're really good too.
Yeah, the Cougs have played their last two games against teams who are shorthanded. I mean, no sympathy. I get it. If you're like, well, we deal with injuries every March, understood. But the head coach acknowledges it probably because of what it has done to potential runs for his program. So they get the win, one result, as we like to say on this show.
They did get a result.
The only result that matters. In basketball.
Yes, a win with an asterisk.
Well, is that a tie? If you put an asterisk?
That's 1 point.
Is that a 1 point if you put an asterisk on your own win?
Yeah.
1 point. So that's why they didn't firmly secure the Big 12 title. The asterisk means they have to wait another round of games, I guess.
They have one game in hand against their winning.
Yes, they're just waiting for one result to go their way before they can lift that trophy.
Magic number is one.
And not have to worry about it. Exactly. Let's throw baseball into it, too. And not have to worry about anyone else affecting their chances of being the solo Big 12
winner.
Then
they'll lift the cup.
I think it's just a trophy. I don't think they have to lift the cup. I don't believe – I've seen the Big 12 trophy. It's not that impressive, and it's certainly not a cup.
Is it still like a weird-looking bowl, looking at, like clear bowl
thing? I thought that was the football championship trophy. If you win the Big 12 title game, I thought that was a bowl.
I didn't know they had a different one for basketball.
You might be
right.
I root
for Texas basketball. I didn't know that the conference – I don't know what the conference trophy looks like.
Texas has never been in a Big 12 title final?
Oh, they won the conference tournament. But
the
regular season.
I got it.
Kansas won it for 15 straight years when I was growing up.
It is a thing. And that's why the stat came out that the Cougs now with two have as many as – they started
as every other team other than Kansas.
Because Kansas is, and maybe Baylor, because Kansas is always winning it. But no longer – the Cougs have changed that, and they went into Lawrence and won, so they're not scared of Fog Allen, although it's been a house of horrors for almost everybody else. So there that is. Okay, the Rockets play tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. You may have your full team for the first time in a while. Fred VanVleet will go into the game, I believe, questionable. He practiced yesterday. I think he went through a full practice, so there's a real shot you get your starting point guard back. And I imagine the lineup will be the same one that we saw when Amen Thompson entered the starting lineup because Jabari Smith was out, the team hasn't been spectacular with the non-Fred lineups because he is more important than maybe we all wanted to admit. Emay's treated him like maybe their most important player. We should have just assumed that the coach was right. We needed evidence, though, because that price tag always made us go, he's not worth it. And then we see the games, and sometimes they can't get into offense, and they're blowing leads. And that did happen with Fred, too. But your point guard, surprisingly enough, is very important. And I bring it back to the Cougars because when I was listening to some sound earlier about Milos Uzan, Kelvin Sampson talked about he is an actual point guard. We didn't try to teach him to play point guard. We didn't evaluate if he could play point guard. We knew he was a point guard, and that's why we went after him. He talked about their string of not having a lot of point guards because the guys they go get are around for a while, and they're true point guards. Of course, Jamal Shedd's the latest, who's now playing in the NBA with Toronto. So Milwaukee in town, they're coming off a win. They've had a night off, just like the Rockets did, but the Rockets do have a back-to-back. So you like to get this one, and you know how poor they've been on the second night, 5-8 right now. So this one is very important because it's a crapshoot. We know tomorrow you won't have Tari in the start, not in the starting lineup, but in the lineup period. So you're going to be shorthanded again. It's just the way it's going to go until they clear him to play back-to-backs. So getting this one and hopefully Fred's back, that would be good. The Bucks are playing better. They won't have Bobby Portis because, you know, he took the wrong drug. But Giannis is supposed to be on a minutes restriction dealing with his issues. He's supposed to be at 26 a night. He surpassed that in a close game against Miami on Sunday. So Doc Rivers ignored it. We'll see if the doctors tell Doc to cut it out, and we'll see if Giannis is limited to under 30 minutes. That'd be nice if you can keep one of the best players in the world from playing 30 minutes a night. But maybe Doc doesn't care about the doctors anymore. Because I was watching that game, and I saw Giannis shake off Doc a couple of times, and Doc's like, no, come sit down. But when it was winning time, he goes, all right, you can play.
I wonder if the team doctors called Doc. Or do they go, all right, Glenn.
I'm calling you Glenn.
I'm actually a doctor.
Maybe they call him coach. They probably just call him coach.
Probably coach. To avoid the
avoid like
having to call
choking him, on calling him doc.
Having to call someone who's not a doctor.
Doctor. Like, what do you mean? How many years of school I went to for this and I get to call you doc, Glenn?
Yeah, you're just a point guard for the Atlanta Hawks. Yeah,
you won one title with Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. I'm not calling you doc.
Yeah, Glenn. That's in 20 years ago you won a title. If you don't win a title in 20 years, guess what? Glenn.
You lose your nickname.
Yeah.
I respect it. He's not winning one this year either. That's.
I don't know. Don't want to see them in the play-in tournament.
No, I don't want to see them in the in-season tournament because they did win that, I believe.
They did.
They did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to see them in the NBA Cup.
Yeah,
final, but in a
cup situation, there.
Well, yeah, because
trophy's on the line.
Because Doc doesn't have the game plan for a 7-game series.
Oh, yeah,
he didn't have he doesn't get the chance to blow a 3-2 lead.
Yeah,
or 3-2. In the Rockets' case, a 3-1 lead. He doesn't have the opportunity to do that, so he can just win a 1-game thing. He's pretty good at taking a lead in the series.
Yeah,
it's that whole keeping it that's been the problem for him. I think the latest it happened was with the Sixers, kind of the reason he's no longer there. So we get Lillard, Giannis, and Kuzma. Yeah, I know. One of those names is not like the other.
The big three.
But he is their third guy right now, so he'll be in town as well. The Bucks are fine, but the Rockets should win this one, particularly if they're going to be fully healthy. So we'll hear from E-Man when we come back. He talked about the importance of Fred VanVleet. We'll give you an update about what's going on with the Astros. There is an arm injury to a pitcher. Sean didn't even like me calling it a somewhat notable injury. That tells you, like, the relative importance, I guess, of the pitcher. We'll let you know. It's not a disaster, but it's that old thing called shoulder inflammation, which, in Astro terms, you might as well pack it up. You might as well put that guy on the IL and say, we'll see you in a year. We'll see if shoulder inflammation, in this case, is not as major as it has been in the past. So we'll give you a camp update from the Astros, and we'll hear from Chris Finch, as we're talking NBA. So we'll hear from Mime and the Wolves coach after they had a big one last night in OKC. You'll hear those guys when we come back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Rockets had a practice yesterday. The media got to speak with Ime Udoka. Let's hear from the Rockets coach on the young players adapting to Fred VanVleet not being there and why Fred's absence was felt.
Well, as other guys have grown into that role, they have to figure out what plays we like to get Alperen in, what shots we want to get him, but Fred does that pretty naturally. And so they have a good thing in their two-man game, or just in general, Fred getting us into sets that benefit Alperen. So I'd say Fred is crucial to our whole ecosystem and what we do because of, you know, his IQ and the headiness that he plays with. And so we're missing some of that, but other guys are getting the opportunity and improving as well.
So, Fred VanVleet, good for Alperen Şengün. We'll see if that connection gets back together tonight as they bring in the Milwaukee Bucks, who are sitting right in the middle of the Eastern Conference playoff race, trying to secure a number four seed. They're looking for home court. And not the usual suspects with the Sixers and the Heat not playing well this year. It looks like the Pistons are going to secure themselves a playoff spot. They're now five games or maybe four games ahead of the final play-in spot. They're in six. Of course, Indiana's, who was not good early this year, has turned it around. And the Bucks, Knicks, Cavs, and Celtics. So, new blood. We know the Rockets are making a push. The Pistons are right there as well. I think they've now won like eight in a row as the Pistons have turned it on. Sean looked at the Pistons and the Hawks and thought to himself, if they're going to give up that many points, let me get my prize picks in. I was watching that game last night, and as I watched the hero shots continue to clang off the rim, I just thinking, man, Sean, wasn't a bad thought, but it didn't play out the way he wanted to. As I think that he had their lowest three-point shooting percentage with 40 attempts or more in franchise history. Hero contributed quite a bit to that. Sean put him up in the for prize picks, and it didn't work out. But, hey.
Get to the mid-range. Whatever happened to the lost star?
Well, threes apparently are far more important. Uh-huh. At least the numbers will tell you. And the mid-range wasn't going down for him either. So off a 40-point night, he barely breaks double digits. So I would say continue to listen to Sean with prize picks. He just missed on that one. Not his fault.
Get in the low post.
Well, he's like 185 pounds. Probably not a great idea for him. But, hey, maybe Sean has something for you tonight that goes better. I would take my chances on Sean's picks when it comes to prize picks.
0-9?
I told you. But look at Alec Burks last night.
Why is he taking 12 shots?
Because they didn't want to play Terry Rozier because of how bad Terry Rozier has been. So they finally took him off the court and put Alec Burks in.
If Terry Rozier went 1-for-12, I would have some different questions about why he's missing all
these shots. Yeah. So far, he hasn't been cleared of all things, at least by the federal government. The NBA hasn't said anything as far as Terry Rozier tanking games, but that investigation still appears to be open, and Terry continues to play. Okay, in a more competitive game with better teams last night, we had the Wolves and the Thunder. I referenced what Chris Finch said, and we got a tweet from Riley, who's a big Thunder fan. He said that game sucked last night. Also, Finch, coach of the Wolves, needs to look at the numbers of the last few matchups. And I did look at them. It's really easy when you go to the latest game. ESPN has all the games the two teams have played against each other all year. And the Wolves have had the free throw advantage in the last two. And you may ask, why would you mention that? Well, let's hear from Chris Finch. They win the game 131-128 in overtime. Anthony Edwards gets pretty much benched late in the fourth quarter. They were down by 16 with about 3:50 to go. He gets taken out of the game. The Wolves mount a giant comeback. He doesn't enter the game again until about 1:48 left in overtime. He's going to be seen as a guy who blocked Shea on a game-winning potential layup, but he did not play through the better part of the Wolves' run. That's now like two straight fourth quarters where Anthony Edwards has been bad. He played the fourth quarter against the Rockets and stunk. Jalen Green outscored him. But here's Chris Finch after the game. And like I said very early in the show, you should only do this when you win, but he did want to make a point to talk about how the Wolves and the Thunder are officiated.
I mean, yeah. Well, you know, it's so frustrating to play this team because they foul a ton. You know, they really do. They foul all the time. And then, you know, you can't really touch Shea. And it's a very frustrating thing, and it takes a lot of mental toughness to try to play through it. And, you know, we just eventually were able to get downhill and force the issue ourselves, and we're rewarded for it.
Oh, so if you force the issue yourself, you get rewarded for it? Hey, maybe Chris Finch, tell your team to do that to start. And they did that late and got back in it. So Riley told me he said Chris Finch to look at the total fouls called. In the game, again, in one game, they each were called for 17. In one game, the Wolves were called for 18, and the Thunder were called for 13, so maybe that's what Chris Finch is referring to. In a game pretty recently, actually it was very recently, it was two nights ago, they were each called for 22 fouls. And in last night's game, they were both called for 30. So at least against his team, there is not a giant discrepancy between fouls called for the Wolves and fouls called for the Thunder. Chris Finch really leaning into the internet's thoughts about Shea and his whistle. Chris, how long have you been on NBA Hater Central? How long have you been following that account, Chris Finch? I mean, Shea does have a favorable whistle. There are edits for it. Yes, kind of. But at least in the games that he plays against them, fouls have been relatively even, if not exactly even in two games. The last two games, in fact. Even number of fouls called. But I appreciate it. Say it when you win, though. And that's what he did.
Can't touch Shea, though. That's what it is. Shea shoots all the free throws.
Yes. It's not like Jalen Williams has a great whistle. Yeah, it's a great whistle.
He can still be right that it's like.
But he says they don't foul. He also said they foul a lot. They foul as much as you do, apparently. But maybe.
They don't get called.
Maybe they don't get called for as many fouls, is what he's saying. All I can say, the numbers suggest whatever discrepancy you are seeing out on the floor, maybe just the bias of a head coach. Except for the whole Shea thing. He does get a lot of calls.
Yeah, that's why I'm like.
And it's interesting where that came from, because Shea is a great player, all-NBA player, potential MVP.
Free throw merchant.
Free throw merchant.
All-NBA free throw merchant.
I don't know if that's an actual award you can win.
Has to play 65 games first to get it.
Okay. Then he's a runaway winner. But it's not like he has a deep bag of accomplishments that he should get the type of respect he gets. I understand. Great player. I just don't know where the whistle's coming from.
I mean,
why is his whistle so favorable?
I think a lot of it does just have to go with the fact that how committed he is to it.
To drawing fouls?
Yes. And B, I think it helps when you're slider or a little skinnier of a guy than, I mean, we all like remember the thing with Shaq is like you could kill him.
Yeah, and nothing would get called.
Yeah. And it's like the opposite with like Trae Young and Shea to another extent, where these guys are so easy to like knock off the spot when they have the ball.
Well,
every physical interaction looks much worse.
Particularly when they throw their heads back.
Yeah.
Like they were fired on by a rifle. Yeah. Yes.
Like the videos of like the stuntmen
falling.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Or getting shot. Yes.
I've seen a lot of those videos. I don't know why that video or those kind of videos made their way into the algorithm. But it's like different stuntmen in padded rooms, like how they fall. And I'm like, this is not interesting to me whatsoever.
The more interesting when it happens on a basketball court.
Yeah, yeah, I see enough of it watching the Thunder.
Yeah, a lot of those all-ball dominant guards. Hell, we saw it here. We saw it here for years. A particular MVP candidate doing all he could to draw fouls.
Those are all legit.
Yes, of course. Thank you, Rocket Sweater, for that.
Here, actually, here's a dossier I have.
You send that to the NBA. You don't send it to me. I can't determine how you get refereed that or officiated. That's an NBA thing. The Rockets did that, and it led to great success. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. In the second hour, we will hear from Kirby Smart. He took a shot at Johnny Manziel. I think unwarranted, to be honest with you. It pretty much came out of nowhere. But when you're in front of a crowd, you start playing to the crowd. And Kirby Smart took a shot at the best Aggie football player of all time. I mean, Myles Garrett probably should have that. But when you win a Heisman, it kind of defaults to you. So we'll hear from Kirby Smart in hour two. But we'll hear from Eric when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date on the latest Houston sports news and follow us on socials at ESPN Houston.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Let's get to Eric here. He's got a topic that we didn't get to yet today, but the news came out that a trade we thought could happen isn't that close. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill. Great show. They keep hearing rumblings about Aaron Dondo coming to the Astros, but it's on again, off again, on again, off again. What's the latest on that? And why does Steve Smith Sr. sleep with the Jeff Van Gundy lookalike?
Let's address the first one. I would say it's off again, according to The Athletic. And Arenado's stance on a no-trade has... it's not changed. It's unchanged, according to sources. So they did talk about a deal again. Turns out there's nothing to it. And the thoughts of Nolan Arenado wearing an Astros uniform were presumptive and a little quick. If you created an edit for Arenado in Astros jersey, sorry. Sorry. It appears that there's nothing to it right now. Despite the early reports, this is as of, I think, maybe late Sunday, early Monday from The Athletic. He's not coming. Not right now. Still feeling the same way about potentially joining the Astros. And I think I'm fine with it. It's fine. I know the thought of an Arenado and another name that you recognize coming here and adding a bat that has accomplished things made people feel good, but this is another guy who's declining, and he's got the Colorado, and we don't know, blatant Colorado stuff on him, and the Cardinals don't want any part of him. They're hoping to deal him, and sure, the Astros wanted him, but he still is not all in on joining them, so we wait. We wait.
Do you think it's because of the Yankees facial hair thing? Where he's like, oh, Yankees are an option. I don't have to shave my beard.
I don't know. Maybe the man just wants to wear pinstripes. I don't know. But either way.
He already wore pinstripes.
Again. Oh. He wants to continue to wear pinstripes.
I was going to say, the Rockies have pinstripes. And people forget that half the teams in baseball have pinstripes.
Yeah, but the Yankees pinstripes are different. From what I
Astros
told.
Astros used to have pinstripes.
Ain't the same. Astros pinstripes ain't the same. You know that, Sean. They're not held in the same regard as those blue pinstripes on those white uniforms in New York. I don't know if the facial hair thing has changed his mind. Whatever rule the Astros have in place, they're going to have to change it because he wants no part of this organization right now, despite reports. And the response is, oh, well.
Yeah. It's just – I'm more just interested in what's going on with Arenado and – the Cardinals? Because it seems like the Cardinals want to trade him because they're probably going to be bad. They just would want to get off the money.
Sure.
Sure. It also seems like Arenado wants to play for a winner. Sure. If he's going to get traded, he can dictate where he wants to go. I get it. I just don't understand how, like, from what I'm hearing, it seems like it's like Astros are bust.
I don't see that anyone else is all that interested in him. The Astros,
it was like the Dodgers maybe, but they already made all their moves. The Yankees could use a third baseman, but they're the new Yankees, so they don't make any big time moves. Or at least they always leave their fans wanting more moves. They always like, here's Max Fried and Cody Bellinger. You remember Cody Bellinger. You remember 2017, right? He's awesome.
Look, Arenado has a crush on some team. And the Astros are cute and all, and they're fine, but I mean, I'm going to wait this one out.
I mean, what's the team?
The thing is, much like a crush, maybe the team has no interest in him, but he has some interest in them. So he's waiting it out, seeing, hey, if I hang around, I play nice, I keep myself available. You never know what comes my way. And then eventually he may have to settle for the Astros. They may be the nice girl who he can't have long, meaningful conversations with. She's fine. But I don't want to hang out with her all that much. But if I have to, I have to.
Is it like the Dodgers? Is that
I don't know who he'd rather play for. I thought we had this talk before in Southern California.
There was a list that he had.
Like the Dodgers were on it.
The Angels
were on it. The Angels because of Southern California.
Padres.
So he wants to be in Southern California. Just those teams don't want him. So now he's like, he's cool like with an LA 6. That's what he thinks the Astros are.
Dodgers, Padres, Angels, Phillies, Mets, Red Sox.
Yeah.
According to sources.
But the Astros want him, but he doesn't want them, and that's why we're still doing this.
And 2 days ago, Arenado's made it clear he won't change his list for team. So, Red Sox, not going to happen. They already have a third baseman, Rafael Devers.
I play third, yes.
Padres already have a third baseman, Manny Machado. Angels, well, I guess they could, but why? Why would they?
So what happened? Did the
Anthony Rendon?
Yeah. So did the Astros just check in and go, what about now?
But it doesn't seem like the Astros are like all that interested too. It's like a weird thing where after Saturday, it just immediately becomes like, actually, neither side is really that interested.
Maybe
the Cardinals are interested. Maybe the Cardinals are.
I believe the Cardinals are definitely interested. Maybe the Astros gave a little look-see, and Arenado was like, hey, stop staring at me. Beat it.
Well, because
and then that was it.
I think Bob Nightingale said like the Astros, like it wasn't, they didn't like seriously pursue it. They haven't seriously pursued it in a while.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they just checked in, gave a little call, maybe talked to his agent, talked to the Cardinals, and see if Arenado's moved off his previous feelings, and the answer was no. So that was rekindling trade talks, a simple check-in. Hey, but you get to publish an article.
I know.
If the facts are that they checked in.
We all got a radio segment on a Monday about it.
Turns out, not a real thing. So sorry, Eric, if you had hopes for Arenado. Keep hoping. As far as the second part of your question, I actually did remember it this time. The woman does not look like Jeff Van Gundy. That has been a thing for people. And Steve Smith Sr., the former Raven and Panther, was apparently in a relationship with a married woman while he is also married. That's messy. And the husband of the woman Steve Smith Sr. is alleged to be sleeping with, at the time at least, made all their texts public. Put them out there for the world to see. Had a FaceTime, or at least tried to FaceTime Steve Smith Sr. as well. I'll stand on this. While it's something that breaks up two homes, potentially two families, the texts are very complimentary to Steve Smith.
If we're just going
by the text and the text only, not putting context on what it means for the two households, the Yelp reviews are great for Steve Smith. I'm not going to say what all she said.
Yeah.
Because some of it's pretty salacious.
I actually don't know if I can.
But just know
doctors
this.
Doctors hate him. I'll say that. Some doctors hate him.
Just know this. Steve Smith couldn't have gotten a better review for anyone for any from for any woman who is interested in cheating on her husband.
Or any woman. You don't have to cheat on your husband.
That's true. But the thing is, I'm not sure a woman who is single would have any interest in a man cheating on his wife. I don't know. I don't know the dynamics. I'm just putting it in what I know from this situation where a married woman was cool with being with a married man who wasn't her husband.
Yeah. That's a good way to go about infidelity.
Yes.
Double infidelity.
Yes. So it's a mutual destruction.
Yeah. Hey. Double jeopardy.
Yeah.
Get us.
Hey, you can't snitch on me. I can't snitch on you. But I can't predict what my husband will do once he finds the text. So this isn't a morality-based discussion. It's just simply someone got great reviews. Oh, so you're into that
someone
sort of thing.
Someone does yelping.
So if you're in – exactly. Exactly. So if you're into that sort of thing, maybe don't give Steve Smith a call right now. He's probably dealing with other things.
Probably busy. Probably yeah. Change his number,
but
too.
But find your own Steve Smith, I guess I would say, if that's what you're into.
Married or unmarried or preferably unmarried, but.
Yeah, yes. Both of you preferably unmarried because who wants to break up a home? But if you want someone to do what Steve Smith is capable of, maybe make sure that person's not married and you're not married as well. That's all. If we're having a morality discussion. But since we don't do that here, do whatever you want. Just make sure no one gets hurt. Although it's very hard to do if you're cheating on your husband or your wife. Part of the game. All right, when we come back, we'll get into the second hour and we'll hear from Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart has some thoughts on quarterbacks he's faced, and one in particular wasn't very complimentary when it came down to it, so we'll hear from him. We'll give you more of an Astros update beyond the fact that Nolan Arenado seems off the board for them. Some injury updates. When's Altuve actually going to play? When some of your other regulars going to play? We will get to that when we get to the second hour. We'll be back.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.